Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned into the Covenant Cafe with your hosts, Lamont Ferguson and Poetic Lace. Are you stressed? Don't be stressed. You should always be blessed. You got a testimony to speak. You need a little advice, or you just need to hear some inspirational music. Well, you have found the place, the Covenant Cafe, with Lamont Ferguson and Poetic Lace. It's time to get blessed.
We have a lot of stuff going on. Man, it's just been a spectacular week. Of course, a lot of ups and downs, back and forth, but long still here. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's the word for today?
So today, you know, every time when it comes down to what's the word, I'm always expecting one thing, and the Lord shows me something completely that's mind-blowing. So today, I want to, before we go into it, I want to say, let's keep it real. That's where we're going to start it. So the scripture is, it comes from Proverbs 28:23. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. So the whole thing, the reason why I said, let's keep it real, you know, a lot of times, like example, because of somebody's status or who somebody could be, or just because they're a friend or whatever, we have a tendency to be like, to maybe tell a lie or to sugarcoat something and kind of flatter with the tongue just because we don't want to hurt feelings. But in the long run, it always comes back to get us. But if you were openly just, you know, state what it is, yeah, it might be a little grief or a little kind of hurt in the beginning, but afterward, in the long run, we have a better and stable situation. I remember when I was growing up, when it was dealing with the old heads, you know, the older heads on the scene, I was so, like, blatantly honest. And I remember one time this dude, his pants were, like, a little too small. And he was older, of course, so he's the type of dude that beat you up. So he was like, you know, what you looking at? And I'm like, well, bro, you got a rip in your pants, and your pants kind of small. And instead of him getting mad, you know, because I'm a jit too, I'm a little child, he's like, bro, you know what? You're the first person to be real with me and keep it honest. I got respect for you. So, this basically shows he who rebukes a man will find more favor afterwards than he who flatters with the tongue. Basically, I'm just pushing that, just keep it real. Even if somebody does something that kind of, you know, kind of tickles your nerves the wrong way or something, you know, address them. Be honest and tell them how you feel. Because if you just go ahead and let it ride and you flatter it, in the long run, it can be more harm because this person could continue to do it. And maybe this person doesn't even know that they are saying something that is harming people, you know. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is, let's keep it real, let's be honest, and let's be loyal to one another by not allowing one another to continue to be deceived by a lack of knowledge due to the words that we use.
Oh, wow. You know what? That's some good stuff, because a lot of people on a regular basis sugarcoat stuff because they don't think. And it's a double-edged sword. It's a two-way street. I mean, I shouldn't say two-way street. It is a double-edged sword for the simple fact that you generally, you know, don't want to hurt someone's feelings, but at the same time, you got to be truthful. You know, you have to be truthful. So you have to actually find the time and place for that, because if someone's, let's say, their zipper is over, You don't want to say it in front of everybody. You know, and it's like, okay, what did I say? You know, so you got to pull that person to the side, like, look, man, hey, you know, fix your pants. You know, or they got something on their face. We infamous for seeing people have things going on with their nose and not wanting to say anything, if you know what I'm saying. So you got to pull that person aside, and that's just the light stuff of life. But, like, there's something serious going on. You have to pull that person aside, communicate what you're feeling, what the situation, you know, deal with the situation.
Right.
You know, it's best to deal with it head on and deal with it instead of procrastinating as it snowballs and gets bigger and bigger. And it turns out to be something that it could be something small, but it may end up turning out to be a big situation because it erupted.
Right.
And even so,
because something I didn't even touch base on, basically, I just another scenario. Let's say if I'm doing something wrong all the time and I'm doing it to you, like it's necessary for you to rebuke me and instead of to allow me to continue to go on with what I'm doing. Like, that's what's the whole necessity of rebuke. Because you got to remember, when Jesus was walking, he had disciples. He had his disciples. And his disciples weren't saved yet. So they were still cutting up. They were arguing. They were making mistakes. And Jesus rebuked them, and it was a form of correction. So this form of correction was to build them up. So it's like we have to, you know, we take heed to the chastising. It's important for us to deliver chastising when we know it's necessary. So it's just like I said, it's all about we got to keep it real. Keeping it real on the petty stuff and the big stuff.
Exactly, on the big stuff. A lot of people use the term "let's keep it real" when they really don't keep it real in the aspect. And the reason why I say that because a lot of people say I'm keeping it real. I'm gonna tell you how I feel about it. But they actually try to keep it real in a negative light. And we need to actually change that term and use it in a positive. In the positive light, you know, instead of ready to curse somebody out, I'm gonna keep it real. I'm gonna tell you how I feel. I ain't doing nothing. You know, you're like, what? Hey, okay. You know, so and you get people at work. You get people at work clocking and man, I don't even feel like being here today, man. This that I'm just keeping it real, man. They ask me to do something today, I ain't doing it. Like, okay, there's millions of people at work, and you complaining while you're at work. I know people that complains about a situation that they're about to lose their job, and then they complain about a situation when they get more work to do to keep their job.
I've actually met
people like that, which is absolutely ridiculous. Okay, you complain about you might be out of work, but then you turn around complaining because now you have more work than you had before. But it's better. Were you worried about losing your job? That situation is a colorless situation, ladies and gentlemen. It applies to black, white, Puerto Rican, Chinese, Africanese.
Africanese.
That's a new term. No, I'm just saying in general because people go to work every day and they complain about their job instead of making a change. You know what I mean? Go ahead and fill out all the applications and say, because when you start complaining, you affect the other workers.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so if you're not happy, I say, you know what? Find you another job. Wow.
So what we're going to do, we're going to create a new phrase right now at the top of the dome. And we're going to call it honesty.
That's only been out for, let's keep it out.
It ain't been out that long.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do have a lot of special things going on today. We have some special guests this week. Do you want to talk about it, or you might want to hang on, or What are we going to do with this one?
Man, when I tell y'all tuning in at 4 o'clock, the shift of the schedule, it might be like, oh, I threw it off, but it's worth it. Trust me. We got, should I say it? We always got somebody special, so I don't even, you know what I mean?
You know what? Let's go ahead and say it. We have a couple of special guests. We have Trish Stanley. She's a Christian Music Award recipient.
Yeah.
And the other gentleman has been seen on Deaf Poetry Jam and all across the United States.
Yes.
Black Ice is here on the show today. So, ladies and gentlemen, you got to give them up. That's going to be showing up. I'm looking forward to talking to these individuals.
Who are you telling?
And you're definitely going to hear from them. Also, music from Trish. It's going to be a great show. Also, of course, we're going to hit you with our current events and, of course, our Weird the True News. Man, I have stuff for you today. It's out of this world.
And the thing, every time you say that, I know to get excited because you find some of the deepest, craziest stuff. I don't even know where you look because I've been pushing Google and I don't see it.
It's deep in abyss, way deep in abyss. Of course, have our poetic avenue going on today. You know, so we got a lot of good stuff. You know, Lace always laces with something that's very informative on all fronts of life, all walks of life, through experiences. One of these days, I keep telling you guys, I'm going to spit something, but I'm going to get there. I'm going to spit it, and it's going to be nice. And I'm not trying to be in a competition with anybody, but yeah, it's going to be nice. I've got it because I'm making you guys wait. And it's like, it's like, you know, your favorite artist when the album get pushed back. You're like, so-and-so's album coming out this Tuesday. Oh, it's not coming out? Yeah, so, it's gonna be well worth it. But let's go ahead and start off with some of our current events. What's going on in the news today, Lace?
All right, so... This is really interesting. I'm kind of baffled by it. I always got a mouthful to say, but let me take my time. So for starters, we're going to talk about what happened Friday. So this Friday, what happened? Egypt is seeking the release of a Boston pastor who was abducted. Now he's from Boston. He's from our state. Now basically, what happened now was this pastor, 61-year-old Boston pastor, Reverend Michael Lewis. He took his congregation down, him and 23 other members. They went to Egypt to walk the Holy Land, to actually walk the footsteps of Jesus, where Jesus was walking. And within this guy was kidnapped. He was kidnapped by some of the natives. Now, this is what really tripped me out was he was kidnapped by an Egyptian, Jamari Abu Mash. That's the captain's name. And the reason why he was captured is because he's demanding police to release his uncle who is in prison. So he vowed, and I quote, "More hostages of different nationalities will be taken until my demands are met."
Wow.
So the thing is, I'm looking like, wow. You know what I mean? That's like, okay, my friend, he's in jail right now. And somebody from France flies to America, and I take him hostage because y'all got to let go of my friend right now because he's in jail. Get him out, and I'll let this guy go. And every time somebody from Europe comes over here, I'm going to take him captive because you won't let my friend go. So, you know, this is deep, but this is the lighter part of the story. He also sent a message to him saying the hostages are fine. They are being treated like guests. So that's a little bit more comfort. It's a little bit more comforting, but at the same time, it's like this was a thought out plan.
Yeah, especially if they live in comfort. I mean, he's taking someone hostage, but they're living comfortably right now. Not really mentally, you want to be at home, but he's taking care of them. That's interesting.
Yeah, eating, you know, eating, chilling. You know what I'm saying?
Can't leave.
Like, you just can't leave. Like, I'm, whatever you need, but you can't leave. You can't leave until they reach my demands. And matter of fact, you're going to make some friends while you're here the longer they take to reach my demands. Because it's a gang more people that's tourists. And I'm going to
wow.
get them. So it's like, you know what I mean? It's a lot to it. And it's funny the fact that this is a Christian man, you know, just going back to it, how he, you know, everything about this story, it is not even just the fact that this is a pastor. It's just the fact that somebody really thought this was a genius plan. And there's no problem with it, you know what I mean? And it's the stuff that we deal with every day. So this is the moral of the story is just so important about covering and being alert and being aware of your surroundings. It doesn't matter what your title is or who you are. If the enemy has a plan, he's going to do all he can to fulfill it. You know what I mean? So it's important for us to stay united, to stay covered in prayer, and to stay alert of being aware of situations and just knowing that there are dangers everywhere around the world.
Definitely.
Like, man went and see, walked Jesus' steps, and you know what I mean? This is serious stuff.
Wow. That's crazy. And what else you got for us?
All right. So this one right here. Now, this one right here, we're finna go a little bit left, but we're still in the same area. So, a cannibal cult. Now, mind you, we've been dealing with a lot of cannibalism here in America, but we're going to talk about this in New Guinea. So, cannibal cult members were arrested in Papua New Guinea. So, this is basically what happened. All right. So, there were 29 people. They got arrested. 29 people got arrested for killing 7 witch doctors. No. Let me say rephrase it. Killing and eating 7 witch doctors.
Oh, what?
Now, they were eating their brains, and they were using their, you know, what's in your pants, the man.
Wow.
And making stew out of it. Now, the reason why I did it, because these doctors, they practice a form of sorcery. And the fact that they do this, the men ate their brains and, you know, ate their stuff because they felt like they can get power from it. And one of the strongest powers was being bulletproof. Now, when the cannibals were, they're bulletproof now. So now, when the cannibals were addressed about it, they didn't feel they did anything wrong. You know, they're trying to receive power. There's no crime. This is not even a crime. And another thing, but what authorities think is the motive behind it, one motive is that the witch doctors were extorting the people and demanding sexual favors. These are men witch doctors, of course, and they're doing it to the, so, you know, it's really sick, you know what I mean? So I can really see, you know, looking deeper into it, because, I mean, I've been watching CSI and stuff like that, right? And the mentality of it, because these witch doctors were doing nasty stuff to other men and little boys, that's why I'm seeing now, that's why they ate their stuff, you know what I mean? It's just crazy. But this is what we're dealing with now.
Wow.
This is what we're dealing with.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That is insane. Bulletproof. I mean, like, you know what? It's amazing to me to see you have these different cults and people's beliefs. You know what I mean? It's like you already have different religions.
Right.
You know, you have Christian, you have Catholic, you have a whole bunch of different things going on, Buddhist, everything. And it's amazing to me, yes, everybody has their own mindset. I mean, you got on down to the nudists. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These are people's mindset. You know, they say, hey, we need to walk this earth without our clothes on. Let's go to private beaches. And you have these people that think they're going to be bulletproof because they're eating people.
Yes.
Do they think they swallow on Teflon? I mean, like... you know what? That's,
yeah.
Okay, you know what they get?
What would they get?
They get the slap. They get the slap, man. Oh, you know what? One more. There you go. What
see,
in the world?
See, now, my perspective has expanded so much to where it's like, what? All right, if you were raised, though, if you were born there and you were raised there, this is all you know. You don't have TV or none of all the stuff over here in America or any other country. This is what you know. In your mind, this is not wrong. Now, mind you, they've been practicing cannibalism for a long time. They just in recent years slowed down with it. So it's like, I'm not condoning it by a long shot, but I'm also understanding how this mistake can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's yeah,
like,
that's
this is all you know.
Yeah, so that's like if you take your child from birth, and not to say do this, but
right.
from birth, and you lock them away, not in the tight quarters. You just keep them away from people, and you just telling them certain things. This is the way you do this. This is the way you do that. And they turn out to be that way. I mean, it's just what, like, you know, I'm not trying to play the race card, but it's just like what the KKK did with their children. You know,
yeah.
any racist, I shouldn't just say KKK, any racist person, when they do with their children, whether the racist black person saying, hey, you don't hang around white people, you don't do this, they're going to do this to you, they're going to do that to you, same thing, and someone saying, you don't hang around black people because they're going to do this, they're going to do that. That's all that child knows.
Right.
So
right.
when they get in that environment, they're not to know, they're going to go with what they don't, you know, know. I went to
yeah.
school when I went to Liberty back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, back in the, we're not going to talk about when I went, but I actually went to school with people. Now, this was when they're not midnight. Well, I went to school from 92 to 97. During that time, that's the 90s, I was actually attending school with people that had never been around black people.
Wow.
Never. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, from just watching movies, but, you know, dealing with it, no.
You know what I mean?
It's interesting.
Yeah, you know, and... And that's, like I said, that's the 90s. That's not the 60s. That's not the 70s. Not the 50s. The 90s. And you got 20-year-old people, 21 and 22-year-old men and women, that is not, you know, that there was the first encounter with a black person, period.
Hmm.
It's crazy. So I understand that my or where you're going when you're talking about cannibalism. That's all they. It, you're not saying it's right,
right.
But
not,
at the
right,
same
right.
time, you have to look at we have to look at it objectively.
Mm-hmm.
And am I saying that right? And looking at it from the outside in, that's all they know. That's all they're taught.
Right.
But on that note, we're gonna go into a song. And, I mean, right now, we need to give God the victory.
Yes.
And it's, the song we're going to is Victory by Dandro. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to The Covenant Cafe, your host, Lamont Ferguson, and...
Poetic Lace.
Yeah.
Vibed out for a second and collected my mind, man. My mind been racing everywhere, and that just, it gave me like a soothing feel, like just peace, you know? I needed that. Beautiful.
Definitely. I mean, just this thinking about the word, always gets on the victory. You always.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I shouldn't have to say you have to. It's mandatory. It's like,
yeah.
You know, at work, when you go to work, it's mandatory. If you not salary, for the people that's not on salary, go to work, and it's mandatory. So you can get what you deserve for that day.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You have to check God every day to get what you deserve to it.
Yes.
Right. Don't punch in. You punch out. Hey, so you got to. It's mandatory. So, ladies and gentlemen, every moment, whatever your devotion life is, whether it's 2, 3, 5, 10, half hour or more, make sure you do it. Because it doesn't take that much time out of your day to stop and thank him and give him victory for what he has done for you in your life.
Right.
Period.
And I'm so agreeing with you. The thing is, like, you know, so often we say, oh, it's in God's hands, or I'm with God, so he got me, this and that, everything. You know, and nothing wrong with that. But my thing is, when you claim that, then what do you do with somebody who got you? What do you do with somebody who you say you work for or somebody that you tight with? You check in. You ask them. Like, I'm going to say, God, if I'll be like, God gave me a vision to do something, then that means I have to constantly be in relationship with him. I have to constantly talk to him. God, okay, what steps you want me to take now? Now what you want me to do? Okay, how do I do this? Oh, you want me to stop today? Okay, what do I do now? Oh, somebody has to open. Oh, you know what I mean? We have to receive instruction. We can't just, okay, yeah, I believe in God, and God got me, and I'm going to do this. And then we go out there and run around without even asking God what to do next. And then when something happens, we quit and say, oh, the devil blocked it, or God don't hear my prayers. No, he hears. Are you listening to him? It's so deep, you know what I mean? But it's not hard. It's just the word is full of simplicity. It's just a matter of just being still, you know what I mean? God said, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. That speaks volumes, you know what I mean?
Another thing, we have to clarify. When we say be still, this thing, moment, when you go through something, you actually sit down and you start saying to God, we've all done it, why is this happening? At that moment, you sit down. So
yeah,
why does it take that moment for you to sit down? Tim, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We often go this mode of, okay, man, my expenses, my finances not going well. You sit down. God, what's going on? People on your job acting funny. You sit down. God, what's going on? You know what
right.
I mean? This is when you decide to sit down with them. You have to sit with them, even if you're not at that moment. There are definitely times where there's nothing going on with it. It's just a smoothness about life at that moment. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Sit there and thank him for, okay, look, although I'm not going through anything right now, although I'm not making any major progress, depending on what your goals are, right now I still give you thanks for where you brought me from and where you bring me, where you plan to send me.
Amen.
That's the Bible.
Praise your name.
I
Naya Lauren. What's your name?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Man, we have a caller on the line. Let's go to our caller.
Hi, this is Trish Stanley from Atlanta.
Caller, you are here.
Yes.
How are you? We do apologize for getting you a couple minutes behind the time there.
Oh, that's okay.
I appreciate you calling.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Miss Trish Stanley. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
That's great. Can't complain. And my co-host, Lace.
Mm-hmm.
Trish.
Yes.
I just got to say, I praise God for you. You can catch me saying this so often, but I love it when the Lord introduces
God.
Me to another woman of God or a man of God, somebody who God is using, a soldier that's on the front line, and I just encourage you to keep doing your thing.
Thank you. And believe it or not, oftentimes that encouragement is needed. So I thank you, and I praise God as well. Yeah, you know, we get caught up in life, and as I'm not sure who was speaking earlier was saying, you know, sometimes we have to sit back and rest and be silent, you know, and get into that place of peace and allow God to do his perfect work. And in this thing that I do, that is quite often. So I am encouraged by your encouragement.
Well, thank you. We definitely appreciate it. So, first of all, how was your Sunday? It was magnificent, great, beautiful. How would you rate your Sunday here?
My Sunday has been a little off. I was planning to go to church, I got a call from my 9 to 5 needing to go in. But, you know, even in that, I had to work on a Sunday that I wasn't prepared and wasn't really feeling like it. But, you know, I when I got there, I thought of God's grace because a man had to be rushed to the emergency room because of chest pains. And, you know, when I say, okay, God, I thank you for the health and the strength that you've given me. And even though I have to go in here on your day, I thank God that I'm not in the hospital, in the emergency room, in his place. So, you know, you just have to be thankful. Even in the times when you're a little annoyed, you still have to be thankful because you just never know. Your situation could be a lot worse.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that is definitely, definitely the truth. In fact, we had a little interruption in our show here. I don't know what happened. The signal dropped, but God is good anyway. The devil was a liar.
Yeah.
He definitely is.
Definitely a liar. And basically, we were talking about just being still and giving God the praise every day. It don't take but 2 minutes, whatever your situation is, whether it's going to be the 2 minutes or 5 minutes in the morning, all that, you know, you still have to take time. And I was actually just saying how Steve Harvey always say, God is not through with me yet. He's not through with any of us yet.
Oh, no, definitely
not. We all a work in progress.
Yes.
You know, people on the outside might look at you like, man, she got it going on. And you, God, say, yes, right.
Yeah.
I got to take care of my Friday, you know.
Right.
But we all, you know, we got to do that. But.
Yeah, this whole walk is a journey, and that's one of the things that I like to speak about often, you know, especially when I'm around those who don't believe and those who are very judgmental on those of us who are saved. And that's one of the things that you just said right there. This is a lifelong journey, and we just became, after we accepted salvation, what's the sense for the rest of our life? You know what I mean? So life is a journey, and it's about growing and learning and loving and, you know, all of that. It was something you were saying earlier that made me think of a situation where, you know, an evangelist here in Atlanta area, she spoke to us one time, and she said, worship is in every – you should see God in everything from an ink pen. When you hold an ink pen, consider – the ink pen you, and consider that ink that allows that ink pen to draw the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. And she said when you take little moments like that in every little aspect of life, you know, and acknowledge God, that's worship, and you are keeping him on your mind. And so it isn't as hard, and it's like you were saying, it's only 2, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. It isn't where you have to be slain out on the floor all the time. Acknowledging God,
right,
and seeing him in our everyday life is what he desires from us, and that'll help bring about the change in this journey, you know, that we're living.
You know what?
Amen.
Exactly. You know what? We got to have to give her something. We gotta
give her something. Please.
But it's not money. We're going to give you this. You ready?
Yes. Praise God.
No, I don't have any money to give you, so I had to give you a round of applause.
Yeah, nor do I.
That's all right. I don't have any either, so we all in the same boat.
Cool.
Now, I have a question.
Sure.
Now, what made you say, hey, I'm going to do gospel music? This is what I want to sing.
In all honesty, I like to consider myself a transparent person, and then, you know, try to be as honest as possible. Really, truly, I went through a season of disobedience where I didn't want to sing in front of people at all. Gospel, jazz, nothing. I just wanted to be a part of a choir, a part of a group, part of a praise team. You know, every once in a while get a solo and, you know, be happy with that. I did not want to be out front. And so I went through a season of disobedience, and, of course, after a season of disobedience comes what? A season of whoopings. So, you know, after I got through those seasons, now, I mean, it's no question. It's just really never been a question whether I would do gospel or not. I did, back young, I used to sing hooks for, you know, my little rapper friends and things of that nature. But it was nothing ever that I ever had a desire to do anything outside of gospel. Gospel is who I am. Gospel is where I was raised, and it's where my heart, my call is, you know. My call is gospel. And after that whooping, I'm staying with gospel.
That's what it is.
Hey, you know what? You're absolutely right, because those whoopings sting.
Oh, my goodness.
Those whoopings, they sting. And, you know, when it happens, it sounds a little like it's... And it hurts. And
yeah, it does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I'm with you 100%. You know, but it's necessary. It is necessary, unfortunately. But yeah,
one necessary thing, because nowadays a lot of I work at an alternative school, and a lot of times they give them the triple at-risk youth title, when all they need is really no medication. Well, some kids do need medication. Trust me when I say that.
I know where you're going. Yeah.
Kids, it's purely when you don't have your mom there, you don't have your father there, you're raising something, or they're raising you. Discipline. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell mom when she get home, but mom might not get home until 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
You know? So that's necessary.
Yeah.
Now, a question. Tell me something about your song that we're going to actually play today.
Okay.
Cheer Up. Can you tell me a little bit about Cheer Up?
Cheer Up is an exciting song. I mean, it's something that, you know, a lot of times, and I won't say a lot of times, but sometimes in gospel, we kind of get caught up in, you know, the Lord, you know, I need you to bring me out. We get so caught up in that, we forget that there's a victory on the side on the other side of that, and that no matter what it is, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, the battle was already won. And as you were saying earlier, a lot of times our lesson is in cut clothes in our mouth, stop complaining, stop crying, sit down and rest and wait on the Lord to move, because he has the answer. So Cheer Up is about the victory side of it. While you're in it, rejoice, because you have to know that battle is already won, and that whatever that thing is that you're going through is purpose. So Cheer Up, I love it because it's an exciting song. You can't help but move on it, but it, it's just straight from the Word. That song is straight from the Word, and so that's another reason why I truly love it.
Oh. Now, one more now, you were raised by a single mother.
Yes.
Now, in your journeys as being raised by a single mother, who overcame being a female being raised by a single mother?
I think that the biggest, I've praise God, I've been married for 13 years. I think that when you're raised by a single mom, it as a female, I can only speak for myself, it taught me so much about being independent. And my mom was independent because she had, I mean, strong, you know, she had to be strong, she had to be independent, and she had that. So that was the only example, she had to be that. So that was the only example of a woman, you know, that I had, the closest example of a woman that I, of how to be a woman that I've had. And so a lot of times, you know, when I was, you know, dating and going through those type things and still struggle with, I have to totally be honest, still struggle with, you know, breaking down that strong woman and submitting and falling under my covering, which is my husband. And so it can be tough, I'm just going to be honest, being raised by a single mom who you've seen had to be the mother and the father. But I praise God in this. You know, I praise God because God knew what myself and my sisters needed. I'm the youngest of four girls. My mother didn't just raise me. She raised me and three other girls. So you know she had to be strong.
I have two girls myself.
Yeah, I mean, and she raised us to tell, she raised us letting us know that our father, although we have an earthly father, our heavenly father is the one who she goes to on our behalf. And that's who she taught us to go to when we run into our own personal situations, you know. And so I think that, you know, although that's not the ideal situation for the family, if the single mom or the single dad allows God to take up the slack, I think that your children will still come out pretty well-rounded. I really do. I'm only crazy 30% of the time. 70% of the time I'm sane. Right. So, you know, I even in that, being raised by a single mom, I praise God in that because I would not be who I am now without that.
And the reason why I asked you, because everybody always forget about the females that were grown, you know, raised in a single home. Everybody focus on the guys, like, he was grown, you know, raised by his mom. He's raised by his mom alone. You know, no one ever speaks about the young lady side. And that's pretty interesting.
It's tough, especially when you're getting older as a young lady and you're looking for, you know, not really that you're specifically looking for a husband, but when prospects come your way, you don't have that example, you know, that some people have. And so you're kind of playing it by ear, but I guarantee you it is a miracle that I've been married for 13 years because, I mean, I didn't know. I was feeling my way, and I'm going to tell you how good God's grace is. I was in a backslidden state when I met my husband. So even in that backslidden state, not saying that's ideal either, but even in that backslidden state, God covered me by his grace. Because raising the child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. So it was still in me.
Amen.
And so I just thank and praise God for really the test, because you're sharing with me a testimony within myself that I didn't even realize. You know, so it is very... you know, it's very important for the girls to have their father, just as important as it is for the boys to have their father.
Exactly. Okay, we're going to go on to your song, Cheer Up.
Okay.
And we'll come back, and we have a few more questions for you.
Okay.
After your song, okay?
All righty.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Trish Stanley, Cheer Up on the Covenant Cafe. Wow.
Great stuff.
I love that song.
So, Trish.
Yes, sir.
I'm piggybacking off my host. Off a phrase. I looked at your bio, and you got it going on, right?
Oh, my God.
So, you got it going on, right? This is my thing. This is what I want you to say. You are, you know, 2011. You actually received the award of excellence in Christian music in 2011. And after we heard a piece of your testimony and everything, but I want you to tell, because our listeners, male and female, that with that drive, I actually want you to share something like how can they persevere? What drives you? What's that push? You know, something, throw something out there for my people.
I think that it's when you take the focus off of ability, and when I say ability, I mean vocal. I can do 50 runs. I could be the best singer out here. But the bottom line is that God called me to minister to a remnant of people. And when that responsibility is placed on you and you realize it and you don't forget it, you stay focused on it, and so focus is the main word that I'm using, you can't help but stop. When I think of the people that God has placed me in charge of ministering to, if I give up, he'll definitely assign someone else to do it. But why not do what he has called me to do? It has to do with focus, it has to do with obedience, and it has to do with humility. I think that when we try to stay in those, and this is my personal opinion, when you try to stay within those three characteristics of being an artist, I think that you really don't have to try so hard to persevere, and it's not easy for you to quit and say, okay, I didn't get this opportunity, so I just quit. Because it isn't about getting an award. It isn't about all that other thing. Yeah, that does feel good. It does feel good to be recognized. I mean, I'm not even going to lie. Mm-hmm. It does feel good to be recognized. But that's not the sole purpose of why you do what you do.
Amen.
And I just to share a little bit, after I had my daughter, I lost my voice. And this was going into my whooping season. And God took that thing away from me. And the pastor that I had at that time still made me go up and sing before he preached. And my voice was nothing but a whisper. I was so humiliated. But during that time, I had a couple of people at the church come to me in tears, and they said, that song you sung just really, really blessed my heart. And in my mind, I'm like, I sound a hot mess. So, and that was a reality check for me, that it isn't always about the gifting. It's the heart in which the gifting comes through. And so even if I only have an audience of one, I'm going to be obedient to do what he's called us to do.
Amen.
So I would say focus, humility, and just stand humble.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it was in my spirit to really ask you that question because it was so powerful. I know it spoke volumes as far as it's not about the talent, the gift necessarily. It's about the assignment the Lord has you on. And that is. I know that spoke volumes to somebody in particular listening. Thank you for that. just to keep going. So we kind of scratched the surface about what's up with you. So we want to know now, what do we have to look forward to from you? What projects, what other assignments are you on? What do we have to look forward to you in the near future?
Well, I stay busy. I someone, a wise woman told me that you need to constantly keep things going, at least three things in your life going, three different things going in your life. Redemption is my title of my CD, and it's not even a year old yet, so I won't be doing any full projects anytime, I won't say anytime soon, but within the next year I shouldn't be doing another project. However, I've been blessed to connect and work with some producers over in the UK, and they heard one of the songs off of my CD and just reached out to me and wanted to work with me. And so we just released a song. It was written by me, but it was produced by Neil Thompson. He's over in London and released solely over there. So that's one thing I have going. I'm also a part of an organization here in Atlanta called Atlanta One Voice Showcase. And what we do is we help promote and help build fan base to local gospel artists who are trying to, because it's not easy, you know, but we try to help the artists showcase. And in order for us to build our gifting as far as with performing and like really becoming free in our ministry when we're before people, this is one way that we allow local artists to come together and I won't say practice because you don't practice being in the presence, but just
right.
allow you to work that thing out. You know what I mean? Yolanda Adams didn't get up doing what Yolanda Adams did overnight. So
right.
I'm a part of that. And just writing for doing a couple of intros for a couple of stations and just trying to stay busy, just trying to stay busy and use the gifting that God has given me. That's what I've been doing on top of being married, working full time, and a mom. So.
Awesome. Now, I do have one question before we go. Now, will we see you on stage? You know, a lot of people tend to show up on the stage as far as theater-wise, plays.
Ooh, that's a good question, because I was approached about a play, and I'm still praying on it, so y'all pray with me. I'm not in, I don't see myself as an actress, but I never tell myself I can't do something. So I am praying about that, and we'll see what God says. I'm open to it, but I'm not stepping into anything unless He says gives me the go ahead. But yeah, pray for me, pray with me on that particular avenue.
Awesome.
Gotcha. Before you go, one last thing. You do have a lot going on, everything. So where can the people find you or contact you, or just stay up to date with you?
My website is the best place because you can even connect with me on Facebook off of my website. My website is www.trish, that's T-R-I-S-H, Stanley, S-T-A-N-D, as in Daniel, L-E-Y, .com. And I love to hear from people. I really, really do. Whether you reach out to me on Facebook or my email by way of my website, I just love to connect with people and just enjoy life, enjoy this journey and this growth process.
Thank you a whole lot for being on our show and taking the time out for me and family.
I follow y'all. I'm in Georgia, so I say y'all. I follow you guys, and you guys have awesome lineups. So it is my pleasure to be able to be part of the guests that you guys had on your show.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate it.
Hey, Trish.
Yes.
Hey, Trish, since you said you used to sing for your rapper friends, I would love for you to sing a hook for me in the near future.
That would be my pleasure. You have all my contact information. Just name the day and the time.
I definitely do.
Okay.
Definitely do. I am going to keep my word and hit you up.
Okay. That sounds
seriously.
And thank you again for being on our show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. You guys keep in touch. We're going to keep in touch.
Okay, we'll do.
All right, take care.
All right.
Bye.
She is a sweetheart.
Yes, she
awesome,
is.
Awesome. 13 years married.
What is our phrase again? Our new phrase, she's showing out. God is showing out in her life.
Showing out, definitely. You know, maintaining her career as well as a regular job, as well as a husband and kids. It's a lot. I do that myself. Yeah, it's a lot. Awesome, awesome. But you know what? Before we get into our weird but true news, I'm going to get into our we have to pay our bills. So, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to The Covenant Cafe, your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
We got to pay our bills.
Do you have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? Then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Attention all shoonistas. Looking for a hot stiletto? Are you addicted to sexy shoes? Make a fashion statement and check out the Stiletto Diva at www.thestilettodiva.com. We have what you need. The Stiletto Diva is committed to bringing you a variety of affordable, quality styles to help complete the sexy in you. We're here to assist you with bringing out the ultimate diva from head to soul. True divas wear stilettos. Visit us at www.thestilettodiva.com to find the perfect pair or for information about booking a party.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Club and Cafe. Your host, Lamar Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And what we're going to do is get into a little weird news for this this Sunday.
Okay.
Let me tell you.
Talk to me.
I'm not at Starbucks because I don't drink coffee, but there are Starbucks fans out there that can't function without going to Starbucks. Now,
right.
Listeners, ladies and gentlemen, even in your time of sorrow, if you live in South Carolina, there's a funeral home that has installed a branch of the shop, Starbucks, into their facility so the mourners can sit as they bid loved ones goodbye. Robinson's funeral home, yes. Robinson's funeral home owner Chris Robinson insists that this won't be a problem at all. I think he believes that everybody's going to, you know, hey, I need my coffee before I go view my love. That's insane. I don't, I kind of ride the wave on that one. I'm like, okay, Starbucks at school is nice. Yeah, that's coffee. Okay. I don't need to see a Starbucks at a funeral. I'm sorry. I don't know
what to say. Like, it's because it's just, all right, I'll let us picture this. Let's just paint this scene. All right, I walk in and, okay, there's my loved one. And I think coffee would calm me down. I don't know. I don't even know if that's respectful or not. I don't know. I'm for the first time on this show, I am speechless.
I'm just, but that's just kind of walking a line. You know, I think people don't need lattes when they view one of their loved ones. I mean, they can be. Now, on another note, this gentleman, a Texas man, his name is Bob Russell. His car was stolen 42 years ago, and he finally found his car. He had a 1967 Austin and Healey 3000. Someone stole it 42 years ago, and he found it. Guess where he found his car?
Well,
he found his car. Someone was selling his car on eBay. The racing car was stolen in 1970 when he was in school in Philadelphia.
Isn't wow.
Yes.
So, all right. So I take it he got his car back. What's going on with the person trying to sell it? Are they, you know, where do we go from here?
I'm not sure that they're still in legal battle right now, but the guy that put his name on eBay had already gotten a bid for 19,000.
Wow.
Remember, last week they were talking about body parts and stuff on eBay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
People selling stolen merchandise on eBay.
This, man. it's so much I want to say right now. So, okay, what is this? Okay, first of all, is there a statute of limitation on, you know, the stuff? You know what I mean? Like, after so many years, the case is cold. It's done, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, I think it's, I don't know if he was tipped, someone tipped him that his car was on eBay, maybe it's a rear car, and maybe he went there and saw it, and then he told the police about it. But that's 42 years. I believe that he got his car back, but got the 19,000. I'm quite sure he didn't.
Yeah. And the thing is, which was another kind of beautiful thing, because I'm not sure if the guy selling the car was affiliated with the thief, but what happened in the dark once again came to light. You know, that's been like a trend with us on this show, how something that happened years later, person gets caught, right when they thought it was free. You know what I mean? So it's like, the beautiful part is like, you know, he is reunited with his tangible item in some sense, you know what I mean, that was taken from him.
Yeah,
it's just it's kind of baffling to me how eBay is being used, because it wasn't created to be a tool for this dishonor, you know what I mean? But now it's like you got people selling body parts, people selling stolen merchandise, people selling boxes.
That's crazy. I'm sorry, I have to cut you off. I think we have a special guest call on.
All right.
Right now. Caller, you into the Covenant Cafe.
Hello?
Hello, caller, you tuned in to the Covenant Cafe.
Yeah, how you doing?
Yes, just, can you let us know?
Yeah, just call me and see what the topic is about today.
Okay, what's your name?
Hello? Yeah, it's breaking up really bad. I was listening to it online also, so I might need to take it offline.
Okay, where are you calling from?
Calling from Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay. Jacksonville.
Yeah, that boy from my hometown. This sounds like a familiar voice. This is Jim. This is JD.
Yeah, this is me.
Yo.
This
right here, you guys, real talk, all listeners, this is a soldier for the front line fighting for the Lord, real talk. He has a lot of great stuff going on, Good Seeds Films, which is basically giving, you know, hope to people through Jesus Christ, through film, music, dance, any artistic gift. Also, this man is on the side. We're fighting side by side. We're actually going to the streets, heart of the streets, which we're helping the homeless. Just speaking the word and also encouraging people, inspiring people. This is one brother right here that I co-signed. Yeah, y'all officially heard a Poetic Lace co-sign. This man right here is unashamed. He loves the Lord, and there's a bold spirit on him where he would just go out and get the work done. Whatever God tells him to do is going to be done, straight up. Hit the button on this man for this man. Please hit the button.
We definitely... gotta get you the button. Now, we have our special guest. Hold on, hang tight there, man from Jacksonville, Florida. Hold on, okay?
Mike.
Caller, you are on the Covenant Cafe. This is Lamar Ferguson Holson.
Poetic Lace.
Is this who we think it is? Hello? Hello? Caller, you're on air. Caller? Okay. Lace.
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure. Let me try this caller again. Call it 623-341-3269. This is your telephone number. I'm not sure what happened there.
Been a lot of technical difficulties today, huh?
I'm not sure what's going on today. seems kind of rough today. I'm not sure what's going on. What we're talking about, this gentleman and his car, getting it 42 years later. That's amazing. 42? Do you think after a few years you'll forget about the car?
Yeah, definitely. Especially after the 10th year. When you get, you times that by 4, and then you add another 2, I chalk that up as a blessing. Just keeping it real.
Yeah, just keeping it real, right?
That's the phrase of the night, right? We just gonna keep it real.
Just real and real simple. Real honest. All of the above. But you know what? One thing about keeping it honest.
What's up?
People don't like keeping it honest, but I realize that.
Yeah.
People don't like
it. It's a lot of reasons before that, and I don't commend or condone any of them. But truth hurts. Truth hurts, and it's always conviction that follows behind truth. Every time I find out the truth from reading a word or a pastor or a friend or somebody corrected me, it hurts. Like, you know, you don't want to hear it. But to be honest with you, when you keep it honest and you keep that truth, you keep it real, there's a joy that always follows after it, because the joy of getting it done right and seeing the prosperity that follows with it, the come up, to say, when that truth hits you, you know what I mean? So, yeah, people don't like being honest, to be honest with you. To be honest with you, people don't like being honest. But it's so much joy that follows it.
You know what's funny, though? Now, that guy, he was really, after that time period, I think the guy forgot that his car was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tried to sell it. Isn't that amazing? And then he got caught.
Yeah.
His daughter's going to drop off. One more in the weird fact for this evening. Let me tell you, Apple, you have some competition.
Mm.
The iPad has competition, some heavily competition. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you.
Yeah, tell me.
You can call it the God Pod. A group of religious computer nerds have come up with the world's first Christian tablet computer. The iPad-like device called the Edify comes with pre-programmed apps for the faithful, such as 27 Bible translations, and this device is made in South Korea. Isn't that amazing? Mm.
That is amazing.
iPad has some heavenly competition. Now, I guess my question now is this. Is that just like, I mean, how is it that as a Christian, are you going to purchase this item and not be open to the Internet? Because, you know, when you go on the Internet, you're open to a lot of different things, a lot.
Right.
Now, this, I mean, yes, you had 27 different translations. What else do I get with this, the God Pad, the Edify. That's what it is, the Edify. What do I get with this? You know, do I get not only the Bible translations, do I get Christian podcasts? Are they going to subscribe to the Covenant Cafe? You know what I mean? You know, so if you go buy you this Edify, make sure you subscribe to the Covenant Cafe. That's amazing. This is some amazing stuff. Oh, how can I forget? How can I forget this situation of Hawaii? This guy was fined $250 for licking his 21-year-old client's ear.
Now, hold on. What are you doing licking people's ears? No, go ahead, I'm sorry. Really licking people's ears.
This guy is the attorney convicted. He was convicted. It was an attorney convicted of harassment and called a dirty old man for licking the client's ear. After a bench trial, Lawrence McCurry was found guilty of harassment Thursday after a former client testified that while discussing her child's custody case last year, he licked back of her right ear. He also told her that she looked so good while touching her, and he said, "Too bad you are married." And after he did that, he made some weird sounds and hugged her tightly before letting her go.
Wow.
Now, is this not crazy?
That's just, see, that it's just showing us more and more of the times that we, you know, this, jeez.
I'm trying to get help, and you're licking my ear.
Uh-huh.
And making weird noises.
I'm going to keep it real. That's so close. That's really demonic. Like, just being real, that just shows you how the wickedness of people. Like, we really have to, you know, how the Bible says, you know, we need to have on our helmet. We need to have on our breastplate. We need to gird our waist. We need to have our shield of faith. We need to have our sword. We need to have, like, constantly, this is constant spiritual warfare. And as I stated in a previous show, that movies got it twisted when they show you demonic activity as being heads turning around, throwing up, eyes rolling. Demonic activity is anything that's contrary to God's word. And that's dealing with, lust, that's a dope fiend, that's all that stuff that we're dealing with. So it's important to that when we, in our everyday life, that we have to gird ourselves up. And also, you know, Jesus even spoke that we have to pray for our enemies as well. So, sheesh, buddy really looked cut, yeah. So it's like, you know, instead of being quick to, yeah, I want to pray for bro. You know, before I start saying, before I start going hard, because you know I got a mouth.
Man, I mean, like, how do you feel? I mean, like, you trying to get help about your kid's case, your case, and this guy, this dirty old man, licking your ear. Oh, that's disgusting. Disgusting. Ladies and gentlemen, you were just listening to the weird news for today. And I don't know what to say. I'm like you from earlier. You said you were speechless.
Yeah.
And I am definitely speechless on that note. On that note, I'm going to have to go to Mary guiding me before we proceed talking about this guy. Oh, that's just disgusting. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And we're going to Mary, God in Me.
You're listening to The Sound.
God in me. And that just definitely goes with what we've been talking about all day long. You know, the God in me. You know, God is in all of us. No matter what crazy situation you're going through, God is there. You know, it's about you making that right decision on recognizing that he is there. You feel what I'm saying?
I'm rocking with you.
That, you know, he's there. And what they say, omnipresence, meaning what? Everywhere. So, ladies and gentlemen, in your situations at work, at home, where if you're on vacation, wherever you are at, God is there with you, regardless of your circumstance. And you can't. And also, I would love to address this. And everybody has done it, and will do this for. When something goes wrong, then they say, why, if there's a God, that happened to me?
Mm-hmm.
If there's a God, why did I lose my mama? Or if there's a God, why did I lose this my job? Or why did I lose my house? There's a thing called trials and tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go through your trials. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because pretty much he's testing your faith.
And what's the thing that's so real about it is that you know, the Bible speaks on how we should not lean. It says lean not on your own understanding. And
exactly.
The thing is, our understanding is, you know, in some sense, trash. Because the thing, like, example, I can plan out my life to the T, and I'm thinking this is the way it's going to work. But if it goes the way I planned it out, it goes horrible. You know, I'll throw a scenario out there. So a guy, he goes to college. He graduates, he gets a job, from that job, he gets another job, a better job because he got the experience now, and then from that point forward, he starts his own company, he's saving money to start his own company, he saves his own company, now he's a business owner, and he does what he wants to do, right? Sounds like a good little plan. But in order for him to get there, let's say what God's vision for him is, all right, as soon as you get out of college, then you go, your mom dies of cancer. And because your mom died of cancer, you spark an interest in developing a cure for cancer. So then you start working with some people to this and that. And as time goes on, then you meet this other young lady who's actually, she owns this business, but she needs somebody with wisdom on cancer. So then y'all link up. And then time goes on, next you know, she appoints you as the head of the business. And it's like, if you were to look at it that way, like, wow, like, if my mom never died from cancer, I would have never started studying cancer ways to help people with cancer, and then I would have never met this lady, and then I would have never owned my business. You know how it's like we don't have the capacity to understand at first why God does what he does, but we have to realize that all things work to the good of God, to the good of God's glory, for his purpose. So it's like that's one thing that we have to get in our mentality as far as, okay, well, this didn't go the way I want to plan, but God's will was done. Since God's will was done, it's going to be great. Things are going to be great. No matter how it looks, if you say in your heart, if you always saying God is in control, then that's what we got to believe. We can't be on this, oh, yeah, God is in control, and then I turn around, I'm worried, I'm scared, my financial situation is horrible, how am I going to get out of this, how am I going to do this, this and that. Dang, so you telling me your situation is bigger than God? Well, what kind of God you serving?
Wow.
You know what I mean? So yeah. It's like, you know, God has been expanding my vision even more on how smooth he is. You know what I mean? God, like, you know, they say swag down here. You know what I mean? But God is on some old, like, you know, the devil intended for bad, God finna flip this around and make it be, you know what I mean? Instead of you blessing yourself, God finna use you to bless a nation. From this little trial or tribulation or whatever, this little bad, little struggle, whatever you want to call it. So it's like it's so important for us to realize to not go on what we see. Because faith is the substance of the unseen. It's what we hope for, what we believe. So if what I'm seeing doesn't line up with my faith, that's always going to happen. Your faith is not going to line up with what you see. But that's okay because that's what we're about. We're about faith. And where if God gave you a vision, he gave you a desire, he put it in your heart, and you know God, you know, Christ, this is the walk that Christ has for you, then it's important for you to walk it. It's blind, yeah, but it's going to work to his good. You know, we're at a no compromise state. We're not going to just fall apart because things don't go the way we planned. We're definitely not going to give the devil glory.
No,
so it's important to throw that phrase up.
The devil is a liar.
Yeah.
He's a liar. And the thing is, you got to stay prayed up. You got to keep your arm up all the time. And, you know, just like you said about your own understanding, it takes, and ladies and gentlemen, listeners, and it's not something easy. It's not. Oh, well, now I'm a Christian. Now I'm saved. Life is going to be peachy now. No, because you know what? If nothing is going, if everything just seems like it's just going right for you, then that means you're not being tested. Then that means you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, you know what? And I heard somebody say that in recent weeks too. And that's the realest thing. That's what's our phrase tonight, keeping it real. If the dog. If you're not going through nothing, like the devil has not tried you, he don't even care, nothing's going on, nothing, I think you need to really question your walk. That's just being real. Like, are you like, the devil don't care nothing about you? He's not even trying to win your soul?
Mm-hmm.
What you mean? Well, I'm on a wanted list right now. I'm steady going through, you know what I mean? I ain't saying everybody should be going through what I'm going through or anything like that, but I'm just saying, We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So let's not, you know what I mean? Let's not be so compromised and be with the world and try to be friends with everybody. You know what I mean? When I'm trying not to get radical. Excuse me, my dear host.
No, go for it.
But it's just that it's so important that it's always a self check. It's always a self check. You know what I mean? What like. It's repenting, it's clean, like, Lord, cleanse my heart, you know, get this wickedness out, whatever I'm doing wrong, if I'm not aligned with your word, check me, Lord, I need that chastising, but I prefer you to do it behind closed doors, just being real, the whole thing is we have to hold ourselves accountable if nobody else will, and we also have to always just, you know what I mean, I have not had a perfect day yet in life. And I refuse to believe that I will, because if in order for me to say that I'm doing everything 100% right, I'm perfect. If I'm perfect and I don't need anything, that means I'm growing into a stage where I don't need God. And for me to not need God is taking me to hell, because I know for a fact I can't live without God. So it's important for us. It's like a constant self check. It's a constant evaluation, because we want to continue to do better. We want to continue to get to that kingdom, to get to His kingdom, and. You know, but you touch bases on it hard. If there is nothing, the devil has not even tried to say, hey, you should chill with me. Because you might be already chilling with him, so he ain't got to ask you.
Oh, man, that might go with the guy who was trying to sell his soul. No, he's a lady that was trying to sell his soul on eBay last week.
And then, yeah, look at this. Look.
Damn. So that means you trying to take the easy way out.
Right.
It's easy to fail your class to get an F, and it's hard to get an A. It's easy to say, hey, you know what? Forget it, man. I'm tired of being a good guy. I'm going to go ahead and hang out at the club, do my thing, and if I die, so be it. You know, at least I live my life to the fullest. I work hard so I play hard.
And let me piggyback off of you. The Bible says don't be weary of doing good, right? Why is it so hard? Like, check this out. Really think about this. Why is it so hard for us to continue to do good? Like, man, I'm just tired of helping out. He ain't going to help himself. But we quick to curse somebody out, quick to cast somebody aside. It's easy to do that. And why? Yeah. Why? You know what I'm saying? Well, that's real talk you're saying.
Okay, it's easy to be ignorant. It's easy. It takes a lot. Someone's cursing you out, and he was like, okay, man, you got this, and you walk away. Sometimes it can be disturbing. I've had arguments with people very close to me, and that was very disturbing. And I'm just like, okay, you know what? You got it. It's easy to say, hey, you know what? Back at you. You know, this, that, and the third. It's just like, okay, forget it. You got it. All right, let me try and keep moving. You know, and the thing is, you have to pick your battles. Some battles aren't working. And in most arguments, it's two opinionated situations. my way versus your way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's clear, now, ladies and gentlemen, remember, make sure it's clear. Not to say assume that you're right, because your argument, your discussion or whatever it is, you may be wrong. So I'm saying it's clear that you know what you're talking about. Not assuming if it's a fact, if it's fact. Then just say, hey, you know what? You already know the deal. Just let it be. You know what? You tried your best. As long as you feel that you tried your best to resolve the situation, let it be. It's no use of getting yourself stressed out. If somebody don't talk to you no more, if they make that choice in life, if it's a good, if it's supposed to be a good friend or a family member, if they made that choice, it's going to film when you're dead and gone, because they're going to look at it like, man, last time I talked to this person a couple of months ago, and the last thing we had was an argument. That's on their conscience. Sure, as long as you are clear, I have to say that, because people are like, oh, yeah, he right. My right, one way was right. No, no. If you're clear. If you're clear. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just let it be. You know, so even if, I'm going to take another step further. Even if the situation, you're trying to argue point, and if you kind of unclear, you're like, okay, I'm arguing, but I'm not sure if I'm right, just stop. Put that pride down. Put that pride down. It's not about losing the argument. It's about putting that pride down. We have a caller. Hold on, let me go to our caller here. Caller, you on the air at the cafe.
What's going on? It's Black Ice.
Yo.
Black Ice. Yes, sir.
You know what, Black? This, I'm going to give you this right here. I don't have any cash for here. Check this out. This is. We appreciate you coming on to our show, and you know,
I appreciate you having me.
Yes, and my host, Poetic Lace. Poetic, you know he's a
poet. I'm
here.
What's going on, brothers?
Man, you called in, like, at a great time, man. I remember, just keeping it real, I remember growing up, and, you know, I would catch you on Deaf Poetry Jam, and it's like, you know, I'm not a person to curse, but you said some real stuff. You know, like, I just love your approach on delivering, just delivering information to the urban community. Not just the urban community, this affected many people, white, black, everybody, you know, and I actually want to commend you on that, applaud you on that.
Oh, man, I appreciate it, man. I don't really know. I just do what my spirit tells me to do, man. I can't really take credit for it. You know, my mom has always told me to accept. You know, she always told me, you know, accept your greatness. But you know, I'm a vessel. So you know, there's a big place of humility that goes there. So it's hard to. It trips me out whenever those accolades are given to me, but I'm extremely thankful that, you know, that people relate to the things that I have to say and the things that come through me.
Amen. Amen. So with that being said, I definitely want to ask you a couple of questions, man. I just want to enlighten our listeners. You know, your poetry, man, is said to, it involves a lot with, you know, with racial and social issues, just stuff that we're dealing with in the community. And the wisdom and the knowledge that you display in it speaks volumes. So with that being said, for you to have gained so much knowledge and wisdom, I want to know your testimony. I want the people to hear, you know, what it was like you growing up in Philadelphia. You know, talk to us. Tell us what's up, your testimony, what you made it through. What God, how did God bring you to be who you are today?
Oh, wow. My story, you gotta excuse. My brother, we actually in route right now. So, my story is, I think is no different than anybody else's. I was, you know, just born in, I was born in Okinawa, but my family is from, I was an Air Force brat, so my family is from Philly. And I just had two amazing parents and amazing grandparents. Fortunately, I'm a rarity when it comes to inner city youth, especially our folks, because I was raised, you know, I was nurtured by the women in my life, but I was definitely reared by my superheroes, which are my father, my uncles, you know, my grandfather, you know, when he was, you know, when he was still living. So I was the cat who was raised in North Philly by a bunch of blue collar cats who taught me to definitely believe in, you know, believe in myself, but also take care of my community. You know what I mean? I was reared by a bunch of cats who didn't just, who weren't just my, they weren't just my father and uncles, but they were father figures and male role models to a bunch of my homies and every other male that was without that in the neighborhood. So with that being said, it's just, you know, and then I had approaching teenage years, my mom, at a very early age, my mom told me that she sat me down. She said that at a certain point, I would have to give up my anonymity. And, you know, I'm talking about, I might have been seven, you know, 6 or 7 years old. So I had no idea what that word meant, you know. But she saw it. You know, she saw some light in me that you know, she felt like she had. And my mom was amazing because she had four boys, no girls. And she raised four individual men, you know, where my older brother is like, my older brother and my brother right under me are like the American dream. They're very, you know, very on, you know, very on course, very, very scheduled, you know, very proper guys. And then myself and my youngest brother were the artists. So, but she raised us all individually, but she always raised us to know our destiny, but also to, you know, to know that we were extraordinary, but ordinary at the same time, you know, you know, to, she raised us to know that we are unique, just like everybody else. Amen. You know what I'm saying? You know,
yeah,
so,
I feel you.
you know, and then, you know, in that, but then I had a dad who, you know, my pop was the cat at 11, 12 years old when I moved with him permanently, on some Boys in the Hood type thing, you know. It was when I moved with him permanently. You know, he was the cat who was pushing. You know, like on Sundays he would play while we cleaning the house. I would get The Last Poets, and I would get Watts Prophets, and I would get Gil Scott Heron and Miles Davis and John Coltrane, and then mixed in between, I would get the Grassroots speech by Malcolm X, and then the I Have a Dream speech by Martin, and speeches by Marcus Garvey. And then he would make, you know, at 12, 13, he was putting books like Leninism, Communism, Marxism, Socialism, and then telling me I had to read these books and then give him my explanation of what I thought the best form of governmental rulership was. So to be 12 years old, and of course at that point it was torture, because I'm like, I want to listen to Public Enemy and LL, and you got me reading these books that, you know, pushing my level of understanding beyond what I could even, you know, could even fathom at that point. So, you know, obviously, you know, circa years later, who knew that those things would be as impactful as they are on my life and steer me towards, you know, closer towards, you know, who I'm supposed to be, which is a speaker of the word and a leader of, you know, of my generation. So that in a nutshell is really what made me, you know, Black Ice is really no different. You know, Black Ice is no different than Lamar Manson. You know, it's just, you know, Lamar Manson does not sound fly getting introduced on stage. You know, Black Ice sounds so fly. So, you know what I mean? But the opinions and the viewpoints are all the same. And that's, I think that's the beauty of being a poet or a spoken word artist, is the fact that, or being a spoken word artist and, you know, in specific, is because I get to get on stage and be me. I don't have to put a mask on for anybody. It's, you know, the same cat that's on stage is the same cat that you approach off stage.
I love you just sharing your testimony, because it spoke volumes in so many points as far as the importance of elder connection, just that male, as men, we should step up and not just necessarily, because you always hear take care of your kids, but also you might see a younger brother who needs some assistance or needs some guidance, or just the fact of being in the younger branch, how we need to, you know, listen to our elders. So
I was raised that everybody around me, you know, I was raised the way I was raised is that all children are your children. You know, so
yeah, there we go.
You know,
there is no
difference in that. Like if y'all got kids, if your kids get around me, for the time that they're around me, they my kids. You say, you know, I'm not gonna treat them no less or no differently than I would, you know, treat, chastise or praise my children. You know, so
That's real. Well, I know this is a random question, but do you feel like spitting something right now on the air?
I feel like spitting something right now? I mean, hold on 1 second. Man, you got to put some WD-40 on these doors. Hello, sorry about that, my man. Doors are squeaky, I mean. You know, but spit something right now, sure. Let me try to think. Where do I go with it real quick? What happens in neighborhoods where the self-esteem has been overshadowed by the decay and the children no longer play the way they used to? Where young boys choose to follow figures that had no father figures, a place where lives have been reduced to mere names on my wall. A lot of dead shames on my wall because most of my childhood friends died over some dumb ish. It's like we all on some slum ish. Whatever happened to that we shall overcome ish. Where I'm from, then it took away boys' clubs and neighborhood sports. It's a place where little boys put on jerseys and shorts, dream big about stardom on fine hardwood courts, but awake to the harsh reality of the stripped, unfinished inner city floor where life splinters. Cold winters are sheltered by crack houses instead of recreational centers if they claim and not have the paper to keep open for operation. The deconstruction of the black family has been in perpetuation ever since Willie Lynch set his theory in motion. Decharacterization was his sole promotion. Therefore, if you take the basketball out of his face and put the coke in its place, he'll still score. What's a young boy to do when he doesn't want to do wrong, but there's a lock on the right door when he has the heart of a... We as the heart of a prize fighter, the aggression of a prize fighter, but no one told him what to fight for. See, most of our families are fatherless and quite poor, so we miss out on meals as well as kisses and hugs. You got the audacity to cut the funding for the facilities to keep us off the streets and ask us why we sell drugs. But imagine if we put down our dice and guns, picked up our daughters and sons, and put a little love right there where the hate is. Imagine if we had the chance to become accountants before being taught what the difference between wet and dry weight is. Imagine if these little inner city kids had the same type of schools that these rich kids had way out there in the sticks. Imagine if we had the chance to learn chemistry for real before we learned how to whip 7.5 out of 6. Imagine if that little black girl could go to that dance school for free and learn to love the dream of that Broadway show. Imagine if she wasn't forced into a game where you assume a filthy name and put your soul and your behind up for show. Imagine if she was taught to love herself, imitate no one, demand and demonstrate respect when she walks through the door. Imagine if she watched the telly and saw herself during the prime time hour instead of the 4 o'clock video whore. Imagine.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Love it.
You know what?
Give it to him. You know.
Oh, and I got the computer applause. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Now, I have one question before we wrap up here. What is your take? Because a lot of people compare, say, you know, being a poet is different from being a hip-hop artist. Can you explain to our audience, our listeners, the differences or the similarities?
Being an artist is being an artist. As artists, you know, unfortunately, we've got to a place where, you know, where life imitates art. Artists has always been, you know, used to imitate life, to give a further meaning of life. You know, so as an artist, I don't see any, you know, as an artist, we have responsibility to draw and paint and sing and play the music, you know what I'm saying, you know, and recite the music of this life that we live, you know, and in that responsibility, you have a responsibility of being honest, you know, to yourself first. And, you know, being honest to yourself first obviously is being honest to God, and being honest, you know, being honest to yourself also means that there's no other recourse but honesty toward the people who are listening to you. So to say that there's a difference between a MC or a poet, there's no difference to me, because as writers, you know, MCs are poets. You know, they just write in one specific form where, you know, poets write in a couple different forms, you know, where we can get into those technicals some other time. But to me, there's no real difference. Because I rhyme too. I rhyme and I spit poetry and I paint. You know, I do a whole. I'm an artist, full fledged. But in all those things, I pray. You know, I pray for the God outside of me, the God within me, to come through me and be expressed in all those avenues that, you know, in all those things that make me up as an artist. So I don't see any difference or any different responsibility of, being a poet versus being an MC versus being an R&B vocalist or a pop vocalist or a painter or any faction of life. You know, it's all similar to me because it's all life and we all have a responsibility to be as honest as we can be and to be as forthcoming as we can be and be as godly as we can be.
Awesome.
Amen. So we won't hold you no longer, Black. What do you have next upcoming? Like, what do we have to look forward to and where can we find you at as far as your website, Facebook, and Twitter?
Oh, wow. Okay. So real quick before I do the Twitter thing and all that, I'm working on my this 2012-2013 Writer's Glock tour, which is my college and university tour this year. We're also doing the Deaf Poetry Jam on Broadway 10-year reunion tour, which is happening this fall. We're approaching 10 years that Deaf Poetry won the Tony, back in 2003. So. There's 10 years of experience and new expression and growth and all that. So we're going to be on the road doing that internationally. Writer's Block, the album will be out. And I'm pretty sure some other surprises are happening that will happen that I don't know about. Cats can, get me on, you got to go by my regular name on Facebook or the Black Ice fan page. On the official Black Ice fan page is on Facebook. I can't befriend you because I'm already at the limit, but you could definitely join the fan page. But if you want to shoot me a line or so, look up Lamar Manson on Facebook. On Twitter, it's Black Ice the Poet. On Instagram, it's Black Ice 1972. And I'm on there, I'm on there a lot. I try to, my son said I don't have enough followers. So, everybody follow me. And tell your friends to follow me too.
We definitely will promote that. Yes, sir. We're thankful that you came on, and I definitely will continue to support. And I'm gonna hit you up a couple of times.
Hit me up. I'm not hard to find at all.
Definitely.
I appreciate y'all having me on too.
And no problem. Before you go, we definitely gotta give you this before we go.
I love to listen. It's nothing like computerized applause, you know what I mean?
Well, thanks for calling in and giving us a little of your time. We really appreciate it.
Oh, appreciate y'all.
All right.
Peace.
That was great.
Yeah. He ripped that poem, didn't he?
Wow. There was so much I wanted to talk about, but,
Yes.
So we just didn't have enough time, ladies and gentlemen. But he is a very deep individual, and you see where his deepness come from.
Right.
It was the early readings. And like you said, at a time where he... didn't want to, as a kid, yeah, you want to go outside, but later on it paid off. It goes along with what you said a long time ago earlier, that sometimes we do stuff that leads to other things. You remember you telling him about the doctor, that's what happened. He's reading these books, not knowing where he's going to be at. Down the road.
Amen.
So that's awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, we have about 2 minutes and some change left. Chase, let's give them the advice or the words to follow for this week.
So just for closing, we heard tonight just how a lot of things leads to this, and you know, just the, how deep we have people and how people dip to get where they are. So the Lord led me to give you guys Romans 10, 8, and 9. And it says, but what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you, with your mouth, the Lord, excuse me, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I just want to throw out that equation. Confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That speaks volumes for itself.
That's it.
That's what I'm leaving.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it. That was the advice for the week, the words to follow. Be blessed is the Covenant Cafe. Your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
We'd like to thank all the hosts that made all the people that we interviewed, the people that called in, the people that logged in on the chat line. We really appreciate you listening. Please do continue on listening to our show and support. We really appreciate your support. And like I said, Mace gave you the words to follow for the week. You guys, be blessed. Have a nice one.
This is the outro, so long, farewell. This ain't goodbye forever, but only time will tell. We had some funny moments, real talking interviews. Every Sunday, 7:30 Eastern time, we do this. Build you up, encourage you. This is the D-Hour Show, feel free to come on through. Lamont Ferguson, Poetic Lacey's are the hosts. From the east to the west, we broadcast coast to coast. The Covenant Cafe, yeah, that is the name. We repping Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're unashamed. He died so we can live. So I'm steady boasting. I think that calls for cheers. So I'm steady toasting. What's up, D Slade? That's the CEO. He's tapping on the glass. I guess it's time to go. So let me close with these words so I can keep it meek. Thanks for stopping by. Hope to see you next week.
Oh.